So yeah, the nomad stuff. You were just like always traveling around and doing your thing.
Yeah, so like I've always kind of felt that the more people you train with, like the better you're gonna be, 'cause like it's like math. Like there's different types of math that you can answer the same problem, but this is a different approach to this, like different approach and different way to get to the final answer, right? It's like jiu-jitsu is just one problem, but everyone has these different ways to answer the question, and none of them, some of them are wrong, but most of them are like, you know, like there's no right one right answer. So it's like, growing up, I was at this Muay Thai school that had multiple instructors. Like I started off with this guy from Gracie Baja named Jerry, and then we had like some guys from Gracie Florianopolis. That was like Marcel Fortuna. I also trained with like Tony Eduardo and Angino Baiao. So like I was always touched by a lot of different black belts. Like this guy's my instructor for this time, this guy's my instructor for this time. So it's like I felt like my jiu-jitsu developed very fast because I wasn't just getting the same style. Like I stylistically I was getting a lot of different looks. So I call it like different looks at jiu-jitsu. And even in my judo career, like I started off with Mitchell Palacio. He was like the Olympic alternate, so he was ranked number two back in the day, in the US. I did Russian style judo with Gennady Durer, and then my coach right now, he's like he's a Korean guy. He's just like a mixture of Korean judo and Japanese traditional Kodokan judo. His name is Kevin O. So it's like I've always in my life like always had multiple different looks at the same problem. And like right now, like Half Gracie, I call him Uncle Half. I almost said that. Uncle Half is like my main guy. Like that's like my head like instructor, but he's traveling a lot. He's not always teaching the classes. Like when he does teach class, I try to like listen as much as possible because it's such a privilege and it's pretty rare that it happens. But
Of course.
with Tay and his nephew Hallen teaching the classes, like I have so many different instructors, and like I feel like that helps me develop my jiu-jitsu. So when I do travel, like I like to whatever. Well, within the city, within the Bay Area, I live in San Francisco, so within the Bay Area, there's a bunch of Half Gracie black belts that have their own schools, like Adam Dunkel, Mike Morrell, all these guys. So like I try to, it's not like I'm going to like every jiu-jitsu academy in the Bay Area, but I try to travel to like the ones that are within the Half Gracie like ecosystem, so to speak.
The sister
And like
schools.
yeah, the sister schools, and like I just want to see my friends. So it's like Mike Morales, he's one of my best friends. I've known him for forever. He's an amazing no-gi instructor. Like he's a wizard at no-gi, and his gym is just a really cool vibe, good people, like great people. So I like to like train at Half Gracie in the morning, and then I mainly go to Cave at night. But I also like to go visit around and like visit the other half. There's a bunch of Half Gracies in the Bay Area, the sister schools that aren't Half Gracie, like the black belts that opened up their own schools. And then my brother, he took a break because he has family, has 2 kids. He took a break for many years. He just started training again, so I
Oh,
like
that's
to visit
awesome.
his gym when I get a chance. Like what, he lives like an hour up north in a city called American Canyon, and they have their own little MMA gym there. So like whenever I get a chance to train with him, he's the one who got me into jiu-jitsu. So like every to get to see him back on the mats makes me so happy, and like getting to train with him at his dojo, that's amazing. So I don't like to be like, oh, I'm only gonna train at Half Gracie, or like,
I know where you're coming from. I'm the same, you know. I go to jiu-jitsu. I even go to jiu-jitsu camps. I'm going to another camp now in Estonia in April. So
oh, sick.
yeah. I'm training with the BJJ Globetrotters. If you heard of them,
I think I follow them on Instagram. That's sick.
yeah. So I go to a lot of camps with those guys and stuff. I even bought another patch from them that I'm gonna have on my gi with my academy logo. So yeah, I represent them too. You know, I love traveling and train jiu-jitsu. It's so important, you know, for your involvement and stuff. So it's so important.
Yeah, just like I feel like the number one rule that people always forget is have fun. Like jiu-jitsu is supposed to be fun. Like yeah, it's a self-defense. Yeah, we're learning how to fight. Yeah, we're sure we're gonna be a badass and all that shit. But like at the end of the day, it's like it's about having fun, like spreading community and like making sure like you meet good people and have a good time, you know?
100%. It is. We actually have the same, like the team that I'm under. We have like, I think it's like six or seven different schools. I think it's three or four in here in Norway, and we have one in Sweden and one in Poland.
Nice.
So it's actually one of the best teams in Scandinavia and Europe in general.
That's amazing. What's the name of your academy? The new one that you're at?
Frontline Academy.
Okay, cool.
We're under like
Oh, no, you're under what?
No, we're under the Carlsen Gracie lineage, like from the Carlsen Gracie lineage, and from there on it's Liborio, and then it's Eduardo Rios. We call him Teta. He's like the big boss there, and he's like, he got his black belt from Liborio. Liborio got his black belt from Carlsen Gracie. So yeah, it's that lineage, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah,
Carlsen Gracie's a beast. He has some like monsters that come from that lineage.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, before I was with GF team, but I switched. So because I moved to another city, so I talked to like the big boss in GF team and told him, I'm gonna move and stuff, and it's no GF team I'm gonna move. So I'm like, I'll join another team. So I gotta say thank you for everything. And he's like, yeah, no problem. As long as you don't quit train jiu-jitsu, and GF team will always be a home. So yeah.
That's beautiful. I love to hear that, because it's like. It's like he's not just being mad that you're the switch schools. He's like, just don't quit jiu-jitsu. Do whatever it takes to, like, if there's another gym, train there, you know, but just don't give up the art. That's beautiful.
Yeah, GF team will always be in my heart. You know, I've been to like GF team in Rio many times. They're sparring there is fucking it's very intense, but the people there are super nice, you know. They're super nice, yeah, and you always get something out of it. So if you got the chance to go there, like, I would highly recommend it. It's in a dangerous area, but if you go at the day, you're going to be fine.
So whenever I travel, I always bring a gi. I love traveling and visiting, like, whatever, like, the closest gym to my Airbnb or hotel, like, if I'm on vacation, like, I always bring a gi and, like, travel. That's like, one of my favorite things to do. It's like, I feel like I'm a samurai with, like, never leaves a sword at home, you know? It's like, always ready to train. But, like, you coming from Scandinavia and, like, going to Brazil, how was the weather difference? Like, did that, like, affect you during training? Like, was it, like, just, like, hot as fuck and you're in a gi? And
yeah, you can, like, I've been to Brazil, like, many times, so I get used to it, like, very quickly. But the first time I was like, damn, it's hot here, you know. And I even brought lightweight gi with me so it's not gonna be so heavy. But it was like but I noticed, it was like, damn, my gi is like almost soaking wet after training and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah, it was a little bit of difference, and of course the jet lag and stuff. But like, the weather was so much better than here in Scandinavia. It's like, especially with the town where I'm living at right now is raining a lot. So I'm gonna take my L scooter to training afterwards. I don't look forward to it. So
scooter in the rain.
Yeah, it's painful, man. So but it's okay. It's 12 minutes, so it's like I'm there like in a row. But yeah, but anyway, it's okay. I'm happy when I reached my destination to the academy. I'm happy and got in there to train, and yeah, it's good, man. It's always good. But yeah, like the difference is it has to be the weather, man. The weather is everything from Norway to Brazil. It's a huge difference, you know. It's
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, the air.
I have a friend who's he's a brown belt under Mike Morrell, is one of the guys that I train with here.
Yeah.
And he has a gym in India.
Oh,
and,
damn.
He's like, the Nogi classes are getting pretty big, but nobody wants to train in the gi because it's so freaking hot.
Oh, shit. Buy lightweight gi, then. Like,
yeah, I'm just thinking, like, oh, man, I wonder what it's like in Brazil and, like, all these countries. Like, I've never really trained in Brazil. Like, I trained in Colombia a little bit. I've trained in England. But I never trained. Those are the only two countries I've trained in outside of the U.S. Oh, Vietnam. No, actually, that's not true. Vietnam, China, England, and Colombia. But never. It was never like crazy weather where it was like, oh my god, I can't breathe.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Damn, Vietnam. Huh. Damn, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a heavyweight. I'm 5'7", and like I'm 230 right now. But back then, I was a lot heavier. I was probably like close to 275.
Oh shit!
So they saw me, like, you know, Vietnamese people are pretty small. And like, they're like, very rarely are they fat. And yeah. So they saw me, they're like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Same in China. And like, but they got some like tourists and like different guy people that live there that aren't from there, like from like England and like, or European countries or the US. So like, they had some bigger guys for me to work with, but it was pretty funny when I walked in, they're like, holy fuck, you're huge.
Oh damn. Yeah, I can imagine, man. I can imagine. It's like, how long did you stay there?
So like, I was in China for a week or 10 days, I was in Vietnam for 7 days. I just trained maybe twice when I was in Vietnam and once when I was in China. I just kind of like I was with my family or with friends at the time, so it was like I was like they were like always doing something, so it was like a very little like chance to get away. But I was like I always make sure whenever I'm on vacation, like I'm gonna train at least once, if not twice. Like I'm just gonna just find a way to train because there's only one chance you get to train in then like a different country, pretty much. Like, you know, unless you go back, but like I don't travel internationally too often, so it's like this is my one chance, so I'm gonna take it. It's really cool. Like I was in China and the place called Shanghai BJJ. They got this like logo. It's a triangle, like a traditional triangle, like you see in the most like jiu-jitsu schools. But they got this like this Chinese military soldier as their logo, and it was just like, damn, it was so badass. Like see all these patches.
Oh damn, yeah, like it's always cool with like some different passion stuff when people ask like a very unique logo that you haven't seen before. It's always fun, you know? It's always fun, man.
And the one in Vietnam, it wasn't even a jiu-jitsu school. It was a lucha libre. Have you ever heard of lucha libre?
Yeah, of course, the no-gi variation of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so like that was like the first time I ever even heard about what like lucha libre was, and I was just like I forgot what it was, like Saigon LLV or something. I forgot what the V stand for, but like lucha libre, it might have just been lucha libre, but like there was this guy just training, and I was like, this is jiu-jitsu, but I was just like, I didn't understand what the differences was. I haven't really looked into the lore of that, so I probably gotta do some research.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. It's like, yeah, Lucha Libre is different. I never trained it. I trained Nogi, of course, but I never trained like specifically Lucha Libre. But I met the guy who was one of the top guys from Lucha Libre back in the day. Oh, what's his name again? The guy who fought with Hicks and Grace at the beach.
I've seen that fight. I don't know who it is though.
What's his name? He's a known guy. Like he's a Lucha Libre guy. I just don't remember his name. He's a very known Lucha Libre guy. But
Hugo Duarte?
Yes. Yes, that was him.
I just googled it. Hugo Duarte.
Yeah.
Is that why he started Lucha Libre? To like, Hicks and Gracie beat his ass, and he's like, I'm gonna start my own thing.
Yeah, probably. fuck Hickson, man. He was a beast back in the day.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, you train with him, Hickson?
No. I met him twice. So when I was a blue belt, I was really lucky to. The first guy that I trained with, his name is Jerry. He was from Gracie Baja. So when I was, we were traveling to LA for the World Championships, and that was the same time where Master Carlos Gracie Jr. was getting his coral belt promoted to him. So he was going from black belt to the red and black belt. And I was there at the ceremony. I was a blue belt. Like, you know, I appreciate it so much more now. Like back then I was like, what's really going on? Like, this is like, and like, it's crazy to be like, man, that was really a part of jiu-jitsu history. Henzo Gracie is the one that gave him the belt and put the belt on him, but Hickson Gracie was there. And so I got to talk to him a little bit there at the promotion ceremony. And then later, a couple days later at the tournament, we were getting acai at the same time. So he chatted up with me and we had a little bit of acai together. That's my Hicks and Gracie story.
Oh, nice, nice. I met Henso when I went to see the ADCC in 2017 in Finland, actually.
Oh, cool.
I took a cab with him and Gary Tonin and some other guys.
No way.
Yeah, it was super
2017?
Fun. 2017? Yeah, 2017 in Finland, like when the ADCC was there.
That's so cool. I just went to my first ADCC. This last ADCC was the first time I ever went. It was an amazing tournament, man. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was different from like the budget they used now and from compared to what I was watching.
Yeah, I was watching. I'm sure back then it was just like a regular tournament, like a gym they rented out with like basketball hoops around you and
yeah,
you just like laid out some mats.
Yeah. It was pretty simple, you know. You had, it, I think it was ice hockey arena or something like that, because they had four screens that was together that everyone from the audience could see. So they had like screens too, but it was like, but it was a cool experience anyway to just be there. And there's, like, I talked to a lot of guys. I met Henzo and I talked to Gary Tonin. I met Leo Vieira, Jake Shields. Yeah, many guys, man. Yuri Simos, Kyothera,
oh, dang.
Lots of those guys, man. And It was like, and I met Andre Gavao, and yeah, so it was like super, super nice. And Tom DeBlas too, I met, super nice guy. So it was like, it was just cool, like, to be there. The vibe was like very, very good, and it's just, it was just fun to like to be there and see, and just book my ticket and just go. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, those jiu-jitsu type trips are amazing. And Leo Vera, man, what an amazing, like. Like, the guy is so cool. Yeah. The check mat thing he started. And, like, I did a seminar with him once, and he was just, like, his look at jiu-jitsu is just, like, wow. Like, how come I – you think about it, it's, like, so simple. Like, a couple different moves, like, how to escape back control. And you're, like, I've never seen that in my life. I've been doing this for, like, 15 years. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Like, how did I think of that? You know? It's,
yeah.
It's so crazy.
I never trained with Leo Vera. I met him many times, but I never trained with him. I trained with his brother, Ricardo. He's also very good. Ricardo Vieira, that's his little brother, and Leandro Vieira. He has an academy in California somewhere, and Ricardo has his academy in Europe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I've heard of Ricardo Vieira, but I didn't know their brother. That makes sense, though.
Yeah, Leandro, Leo, Ricardo, and Leandro. That's the three. They're Vieira brothers. So, but yeah, but Leo, yeah, his knowledge is like unbelievable. I think I bought a DVD from him and BJ Fanatics. I got it like super cheap, and that was The Secrets of the Broadway Choke. So I still try to set that up to this day. It's been like 1 or 2 years ago since I bought it. I still watch it sometimes and try to still use one of his Broadway Choke secrets. It's so good.
It's crazy that, like, all these videos now, like, with all the platforms or YouTube, even YouTube, like, when we first started training, it was very hard to get some of that info, and now it's just so readily accessible. It's, like, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, when I started, I started 2009, but when I was getting like super serious was 2011. Then it was not like they had videos on YouTube, but it was starting to come out like videos on YouTube. It was not as popular. It was a few good ones. There was many bad ones too, probably. But
I remember, buying books to like learn different jiu-jitsu moves, like these books. And it's pretty funny, like learning jiu-jitsu from a book. But there was this one book, the Saulo Ribeiro and Hicks and Zanji Ribeiro, but Zanji and Saulo, they did this University of Jiu-Jitsu book. That
one. That's old school.
That's a great book. That's a fucking great book.
Yeah, I bought Andre Galvao's book, actually. I actually have it here. I bought that book, too.
I gotta check it out.
Yeah, you haven't seen that book, Andre Galvao's book, Drill to Win. It's good, you know. He goes a lot of good. He's like the guy who loves to drill and stuff like that. He put a lot of emphasis in drilling and stuff like that. And his jiu-jitsu is also very amazing.
I gotta check it out. I'm looking for more drills. Like, I love, as someone who like teaches judo and like always looking for more drills to throw at the team. And I'm dealing with college students, so like, yeah, they got a lot of like. It takes a little while for them to get tired, so it's like.
Yeah, I think I have it on my computer. I can send it to you. I think I have it.
Oh yeah,
so
please, man.
I think I have the whole book, so I can send it to you digital.
Oh, love that. That would be amazing.
So you don't need to buy it. So, but yeah, it's a good book with a lot of like good ideas, what you can do and stuff like that. It's like it's useful, you know. If you have a day you have no clue what you're gonna do. It's good.
Yeah, and it's cool that like even like some of the old school stuff, like it could be from a book from like a long time ago, but like there's probably some still practical application today. It's not like some other things where it's like, oh, that doesn't work anymore. It's too old. It's like, it's pretty cool to look at some of the old school, like the way they attack and like the way they hold and their grips, and be like, oh, it's still so usable today as well, even though like people are focused on like Deli Hivas, Barambolos,
yeah,
like, this new wave of jiu-jitsu, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's different times, man. I was never a Barambola guy anyway. I don't have the neck to do it, you know. I don't have the neck. I get claustrophobic if I get up down. I get claustrophobic. I don't like it. I really don't like it. So I'm like, I'm sticking to my old school half guard and sometime collar and sleeve, but mostly half guard.
Yeah, you guys come from Carlson, so like most of the Carlson guys I've ever encountered or like come from Carlson Gracie lineage have a really nasty collar and sleeve.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
guard,
I
just like,
yeah, I recently learned it, so it's nothing that I'm good at. I'm just like, now I'm just like practicing with it and toying with it a little bit, but my bread and butter, it's got to be my half guard, so.
Yeah, same, bro. That's home base for me.
Yeah.
That's where I feel most comfortable.
Yeah, me too, man. I don't mind getting smashed in half guard. I don't mind because I know how to get out, and yeah, I also watch a lot of John Danner stuff too. You know, he's got, his instructions are super long. He talks a lot. It can be a little bit much. You can't watch the thing in the whole day. Then you're gonna sit there as a question mark. He's super knowledgeable, but you have to take one chapter at a time and find what's relevant for you. But his half guard DVD is very good.
Yeah, I should definitely check it out.
Yeah,
I'm always looking to innovate my half guard and find these little other details. Yeah. And you know, one thing I like about half guard, but it's also like the dangerous part about half guard is like you're one step away from a bunch of positions. Like you want the back, you're one step away. You want full guard, you're one step away. You want deep half, like it's like you're like very close to all these positions. Like it's so versatile, but at the same time, if the person's good on top and half guard, they're one step away from passing, one step away from, you know, it's like they're also one step away. So it's like this good balance. But I like if people like, I feel like for like beginners, it's hard to like get a grasp. Like it looks like a simple position, but there's a lot of intricacies into it. But like once you do understand half guard, it's such a valuable tool.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's very like, I would say it's like, it's still popular as it was when it first got recognized by Gordo. Mm-hmm. I would say it's still popular among many guys, you know, many of the new school guys do use it. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, guys like Lucas Leitch, he's got his own thing, like the Coyote half guard. I use that one sometimes too, not too often, but sometimes, but he has his variations, and you have Jake McKenzie. He also has his variation, and you got John Danner. He's got his variation, and Gordo. Yeah, like those guys, man, it's a lot of different guys who has different like different views on their half guard. You know, it's they have different details. Everyone, it's interesting to see like how different the details can be from person to person.
Yeah, that a Coyote. That's Lucas Leitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been playing around with that a little bit, like that's like the dogfight position and things like that.
Yeah,
it's a tricky position. Like, I want to get better at like attacking from like inside of it and like being able to like put him back on the ground and like.
Yeah,
I definitely am not that good at that. I just from that position, I just like kind of wizard their arm and just like try to do an Uchimata from the ground and like try to just like throw him on top. Like, just pretty much like just melt like. Weld in my judo, kind of, so to speak, into like that position. I'm not really like I don't have like a set answer for dogfight or coyote.
Yeah, no,
so it's definitely like an area I need to work on.
Yeah, me neither. I also a couple of days ago I saw the seminar that Kurt had at Half Gracie Berkeley.
Yeah,
I saw it on YouTube. That was I actually nailed one of the half guard sweeps that he did in training the day after. So
that's amazing.
So that was like, but it was a lot of good stuff there. Like his point of view on like, don't get too, almost glue yourself to a leg to avoid getting hit or stuff like that. And it was like a lot of good views that I haven't thought about, because when it comes to self-defense and stuff like that, but it was a lot of good things, like good details, the things I never thought about or I never knew. So it's like, I like it a lot. You know, that seminar was so good.
Yeah, I was there at the seminar, and like I was in the back, like I was filming, like trying to like, all right, I want to make sure I remember. And then as soon as it starts, he's like, Yoshi, come here, and he used me as a Zuke, and I was just like, oh man, that was such like, I was so happy to like be there and do the seminar with him, like, and just like have like a pretty much a front row seat to the seminar. That was like, I was so happy to do that for him.
Yeah, and his knowledge of half guard too is also so good. You know, it's I love watching him teach like half guard. I told you earlier too that he's one of the guys that main guys that I learn like half guard from. Like I try to emulate when I do half guard. It's like his game is something I really try to emulate.
Yeah, definitely. So like, it's so simple, but it's so effective. Like that's what I love about Kurt's moves. Like it's nothing's super crazy. Sometimes you'll get a dabble of craziness, like, but for the most part, it's pretty legit, simple jiu-jitsu. But it's like, so it's not simple as in like, oh, I've seen that a million times, or like that's what everyone does. It's like simple as in it doesn't take a lot, but it's like still always something that's innovative and something that you've never really seen before. At least for me. He has a lot of different moves, and I'm like, wow, how come like I didn't think of that? That's pretty crazy, but it's so easy to do.
Yeah, you probably have seen the move before, but it's always, he probably adds some details that you never seen before, so it becomes almost like a new move again.
And he always has some joke for his deep half guard. He's just like, I think during the seminar he said it, like, or like maybe it was in class last week or something. He was just like, we're doing deep half as well. And he go deep half, he's like, I'm gonna put my head really close to his dick.
Yeah.
If that makes you uncomfortable,
yeah,
this is not for you.
Yeah, I remember he said that. I remember he said that actually. I remember that.
And, Kurt, man.
Yeah, and it was one time he was supposed to, it was move of the week, and he was showing a neon stomach escape, and it was like, you can grab his belt or his pants, careful not to grab his cock.
Yeah, that's 100% Kurt for sure.
Yeah, I was laughing my ass off. I watched this video just to hear him say that, because it's so fucking funny. It's so hilarious, that guy. Like, oh, damn. I have to train with him at some point. I have to train with that guy. I have to.
Yeah, definitely. If you ever visit the Bay Area, man, we'll all train together. His classes are amazing. His classes are great.
Yeah, I definitely got to pick up something from his classes. So I think it's going to be awesome, man. I think it's going to be...
Yeah, he's always got metal playing in the background. He has his dog there on the side of the mat. It's like, it's totally a vibe.
Yeah. I also have his instructions from BJ Fanatics. I still use them from time to time. It's very good.
Jiu-Jitsu Renegade, Tales of a Jiu-Jitsu Renegade.
Yeah, or Tales or was it what was the name? Was it Tales? I don't remember what the name was.
Something Jiu-Jitsu Renegade. I just remember it had Jiu-Jitsu Renegade in it.
Yeah, the name is Fundamentals of a Jiu-Jitsu Renegade.
Yeah, Fundamentals.
But it's not like super. It's not like super basic fundamentals either. It's very good fundamentals from for intermediate and up, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I have that one as well. It's amazing. Like, I always go back to it every once in a while to just check out and refresh. It's a great instructional.
Yeah. I totally agree. I like it a lot. It's a lot.
Just to plug Kurt real quick. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know when this is going to air, but it's on sale on BJJ Fanatics, because I just saw that on Kurt's Instagram. So if anyone wants to pick it up, go to BJJ Fanatics and support Kurt.
Yeah, it's worth every penny. You know, you're gonna get a good laugh, and you're gonna get some good good old solid jiu-jitsu.
About the name, like, I'm gonna go see him on. I'm gonna train with him today, but next Wednesday I'm training with him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask him like, who came up with the name? Like,
yeah, do it. Give him my regards.
Oh, for sure.
Give him my regards and tell him that that half guard seminar he had put on YouTube was like super awesome and knowledgeable. I'm gonna watch it again, like probably this weekend.
Yeah, I'll let him know. I love what the guys at Half Gracie Berkeley. This is the guy's name, Fraga's the head instructor, and then he has a few guys that are really good into like social media and camera work. So like they've just been really good, like even on their Instagram, about posting some really cool techniques. Like, they're not gatekeeping anything. They're not hiding anything.
Nice.
Like, what they're doing, they're showing and giving it to the world. So it's like, I love that.
I gotta follow them on Instagram. Half Gracie Berkeley, right?
Yeah.
I definitely gotta follow them, man. Now it's like, oh damn, it's 10 minutes left before we have to like upgrade again. So I know, if something more you wanna add?
It's up to you, man. I'm good, if whatever you wanna do.
I'm a little bit of a rush, so
you gotta get to training.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a rush.
Yeah, for sure. No worries. If I just give a shout out to a few people before I sign off, I just
of course.
Give a big thanks to Half Gracie, Tay Crivello, Mike Morrell, Papa Frank. There's this guy named Papa Frank, man, hilarious. If you ever train with me, you gotta introduce you to Papa Frank. Old school Half Gracie black belt. I call him the glue, because he's like, he keeps the team held together. Like,
nice.
About him is just like, he's an amazing human being. I love him to death. So big shout out to Papa Frank. If anyone wants to find me, you can find me on social medias, on all platforms, YouTube, Instagram, everything. It's Yoshi_SF. I post once a week, move the day, and looking towards the future, I really want to do seminars, so I'm available for seminars. If anyone wants to reach out, you can hit me up on Instagram or any of the platforms, and I'll message you back. But really appreciate you having me on. This is a great conversation, and I'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's try to do it again in the summer or something like that, and let's see. let me get some updates of how things going. So let's try in the summer or May or something like that. We'll talk about it and we'll see. It was a pleasure, man, and super funny, you know. Lots of good stories and old school jiu-jitsu, just how I like it. And yeah, man, good luck to you, and yeah, all good regards, man.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right, take care.
Take care, man.
All right, bye. And we're on, man, with Alex, BJ Globetrotters. Yeah. Fucking awesome to have you on.
Well, it's a great time here, having a lot of fun. Final open night, maybe even you can hear the music in the background. People are drinking at the party, basically, while rolling. So
it's
a typical Globetrotters thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's fucking awesome, man. Like, you're doing this stuff, and yeah, the camps and stuff is, like, so good for involvement, for jiu-jitsu and everything. It's like,
yeah, a lot of hard rolls, but also fun rolls, easy rolls, everything, and people stay calm. They don't get pissed off, even though you kick somebody's ass. It's just normal, you know?
Yeah.
Also, when you get your ass kicked, it's just, you know, people try to be careful with each other.
Yeah.
And train intensively still. So
yeah.
Pretty great.
Absolutely. How many camps now?
For me, I think Globetrotters is like the 13th or 14th. But
I had
a few more, like the leg lock camps with Craig Jones and Leather. A few others, but mostly Globetrotters.
Yeah, like, that's fucking cool, man. Like, 13 camps, yeah. So you got your free pizza?
Yeah, a while ago.
Nice. Good. How you, like, started with this, like, jiu-jitsu and stuff? Like, we're talking about your story and stuff like that, with jiu-jitsu story.
Yeah, I started pretty easy to track it back. It was like the first January of 2009, so it's like super easy for me to count.
Yeah.
But I signed up the year before, so I got like €5 discount back then.
Yeah.
But then I competed a lot, and in the end I didn't have to pay the fee and stuff. That was cool back then.
Where was the gym?
I think they even called it back then like Free Fight or something. I just saw on the sports channel, like in Pride and stuff, and saw them do the ground stuff. And I was like, what is this? It looks super complex. I thought I'm never going to be able to learn it, but then I just started.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I think, the first gym that did that in the city back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since then. Been going full retail. Like, before that, I don't like want to go much into detail, but I didn't really have anything in my life. I was kind of just wasting my time, and I was also very introverted and had a kind of shitty background. Like, especially like the first 3 months, I just showed up, drilled, trained, rolled, and didn't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
People thought I'm like a psychopath or something.
Yeah.
But then now I came pretty far, like here giving seminars with hundreds of people in front of me, where I get like super nervous, but it works out pretty well always.
Yeah.
So I came quite a long way.
Yeah.
But I really fell in love with jiu-jitsu. Like, the first time I rolled, it's like the first time I really felt alive in my life. So I just stuck with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I went full retail, gi, no gi. I did the MMA for a long while. I had 10 professional fights. I even fought Rodolfo Vieira.
Yeah. I remember that, actually. Yeah, that's cool.
But I mostly like gi and no gi. Yeah. So I was also mainly grappler in MMA. I always wanted just to test my abilities. Real fight.
Yeah, how it works, right? Practice it and practice what you preach, right?
Yeah.
That's cool, man, that's cool. Because we're, you know, I'm found like very introverted style of jiu-jitsu. It's like very introverted and not introverted, but it's very crazy. You get up in very, very weird position.
Unorthodox,
yeah. Thank you. So when me and you roll, it's like, I don't know what the hell you're doing, but you get me in very awkward positions and like weird positions, like, what the fuck am I doing now? It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So, how do you develop that, like, crazy, like, float and whatever you want to call it?
I just always tried out everything, and I liked submissions. So I would go for it, and then it would fail. I get my guard pass, so I naturally develop good guard retention. So you should never be feeling bad or like when something fails and you get your guard pass. Like, that's still training, and actually great training, because you need defense to be able to attack. So you can never be wrong, as long as you don't get hurt. Just be there, and also don't be mindless. Like, some people just show up, go hard, and they don't even think. That's fun, but that's just physical workout.
thanks, man. I really enjoyed the classes and rolling with you.
Thank you. It's no fun.
If I get the opportunity, I will try and come to visit.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a few guys. Actually, I competed against one of them.
Which one? Him?
Yeah, he's a black belt. Yeah. Was one of the few guys. Like, I had a mount and I didn't submit him, and I won, but I was like so pissed. I sat on him for like 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. I just couldn't catch him.
He's good, right?
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, nice.
The king of the beach back in the day.
Oh, nice. You still compete a lot, like jiu-jitsu, or just sometimes?
I couldn't for a while. My knee was exploded.
Yeah, you told me about that. What happened?
I did a camp. I think I was rolling with a guy who fought at Polaris also. Kind of stacky, big guy. And I thought the normal buggy choke was not enough. So I added my second leg, but I couldn't close the triangle because he was too wide. And I just got my leg in a very awkward angle. And actually not the buggy choking leg exploded, the other one exploded. So,
Oh. Yeah.
Like two and a half tendons gone. But yeah, I just took 2 weeks break and kept going carefully. I had a lot of pain, but now I'm almost 90% again, so I guess it was the right decision.
You don't feel anything like now?
I feel nothing. I just feel like not 100% of the stability that I had back then, but I'm back at 90%, and most people say you don't even get to 80%. So
yeah.
Went better than expected. And before that, there was like COVID in Germany, so there was almost no competition in all of Europe, so there was quite a long time where I didn't compete. But last year I tried again. It was just like a local comp, but it was sub only, pure sub only, no time limit, gi, no gi, absolute. So
yeah.
Where I'm usually 2 times better than everyone else. So I had like 14 fights and only 5 minutes, 5 times altogether.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it was madness.
That's amazing.
It went very, very better than I thought because I was not competing for maybe 2-3 years. Yeah.
That makes sense. Makes sense. But like, could you still train, right, here back in the COVID days? Did you train or did you...?
Yeah, I always met up with 1-2 people, you know. It was super illegal, but fuck it, you know. It's not like we're switching partners every day and spreading. It's just the same training partners all the time. Yeah,
and if one gets sick, he's gonna let the other know. So,
yeah.
Like training partners that you trust and to train with, and not new guys coming in and stuff
like
that.
Course.
Kind of new guys coming in.
Basically, we just did all private open, man.
Yeah. You have mats in your house, or did you like?
I had for long times. I always had mats, even a whole room just with mats. People would visit me. We would do like one class with one. Like I would train with one guy for an hour, then he would leave. The next guy would come. I would keep training. It was a great time. I learned a lot during that time.
Yeah, and this is fun, like, because COVID changed like everything. Like, people were probably missing jiu-jitsu a lot, and there was no camps, obviously.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Or they had one camp, I think, in Caribbean or stuff like that. I think they had one COVID camp there. With only 5-6 guys.
Crazy.
I don't know if it was 5-6 guys, maybe more, but it wasn't.
The Caribbean one is always small.
Yeah. You been to it?
I've been invited like twice, but it's quite expensive to get there, so I need to see it. At some point I'm going to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty epic.
What's your favorite camp, like, so far, like, for you?
Well, I always like those the most, where's the most rolling and technique, so I would say back then Belgium and now Heidelberg. It was kind of the replacement of Belgium, I would say.
Yeah.
Almost the same, just different city, kind of.
Yeah.
I
remember the Leuven camp was my first.
Exactly.
It was a good camp.
Mine too.
Leuven camp was good, and
we had a lot of higher belts. That was cool.
In Leuven?
Yeah, we did.
And my second one was Faroe Island. That was special.
Yeah.
It was a bit weird, but the weather fucking sucked. But we did everything we could to have fun, so it was fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
But expensive.
Of course.
Yeah. And now this one in Tallinn. I love the Tallinn camp. I think that's one of my favorites now.
I was never here before, so it was pretty cool. The people are good technically, but they roll calm. That's rarely you see that. It's more either they are like just not good, or they are good and roll and kind of roll very aggressively, like competitors, basic competitors.
Yeah.
But here we have a lot of good people who can go hard, but they are careful. Like,
yeah.
The vibe is really well, actually.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, beautiful city too. A lot of things to see. Yeah. And if you're into that stuff, I'm not, I don't care. But it's like, in the old town, for example, there's a lot of cool things to see. There are good food, very good food. I love the Estonian food.
A lot of different beers.
Yeah. So yeah, but Globetrotters is like, I love this shit. I'm definitely going to more camps. So it's like, it's gonna be awesome, man. So what's your plan like for the future now? Do you have any like specific plans? More MMA, more jiu-jitsu, or?
MMA only if they would pay me well, because I never really liked it much. But that's not really a thing in Europe, at least not at the moment, like well-paid MMA. And also then I would really have to dedicate myself to it. And I don't know, that would just take away the focus from the jiu-jitsu. I really don't want that. I really want to explore gi and no-gi much more. It's Makes also sense. A part of MMA, but you just... Even when you want to be like world champ or something, even in, let's say, no-gi, you have to split like everything that's a bit off the main important stuff, you have to kind of neglect.
Yeah.
And only focus on that stuff that wins you the competition. And then you're a champion, and that doesn't mean that you're bad at, you're still good at jiu-jitsu, but you're not truly, like, how should I say it, emphasizing everything and learning everything. I just love it too much.
Yeah, it's different, you know. Yeah, you have like change your focus and everything, and it's like it's not just one thing; it's everything, right?
Yeah.
But like when you train like when you did your MMA fight and stuff, where did you train at your own gym, or you have to swap a little bit and go all over?
Yeah, I would always visit different places, but you know, mostly. I had quite some training partners back then, so it was fine mostly at my own gym, but I would visit a lot of different people wherever I could. It's always good to get some input.
Yeah. If you have like for example like striking coach and you have grappling coach you also don't need, or
well, I would say training partners, like
training partners.
Yeah, wrestling based guy or grappling based guy, yeah, I had that.
Yeah. Yeah, but here's what it is, you know, you need like good training bonds to make it work, and MMA is hard, so
yeah.
It's tough. How many fights do you have, you said?
Ten. Yeah. I was for a while in the top 10 in Germany, in light heavyweight, I think. It's a bit crazy because I never cut it, I just fought my weight because I was like, yeah, it's just MMA, it's not my main thing.
Yeah.
But it went better than I expected. I won 7 by submission, I lost 3.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. You still got it, so it's like it's good. It's very good. Like I have a good track record there, so it's like I think I saw your fight.
Sorry about earlier. I was in the middle of a bit of a conversation with someone, so just so you know.
No, don't worry. Okay. All right, yeah, we're getting a little interruptions here and there, but it doesn't really matter. So like are you thinking about like going to ADCC and competing there, or
maybe? I mean,
will you try? Like, it'd be fun to see you though, like go there. The trials, or
I need to fix my elbow first. I have a little injury, like not injury, but I'm going hard for a long while now, and kind of can't extend the elbow fully and bend it. I think it's the same with the Nado Fari I had.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky, they're just going to take those bone pieces out of the elbow, and then it's going to be fine.
Yeah, you told me about that. Like,
Bernardo
Porto had the same problem, right?
Yeah.
Just 2,000 bone pieces and
seems like it. Yeah. So if that gets fixed, well, then yeah, looking forward to it. More serious once in a while again.
Yeah. Support. Do you think like competition is important to like evolve jiu-jitsu, or do you think it's like, is it needed? Like, what's your opinion?
Like to evolve it?
No, to evolve jiu-jitsu. Do you think? Do you mean that you have to compete, or is it okay if you don't compete? Like,
well, you don't have to.
Of course you don't have to.
But if you can also compete stupidly and just go there just to destroy, you know. But that's kind of stupid. That gets your opponent hurt, that gets you hurt. You should compete and be mindful about it. What happens? What do the opponents do? What do I do? Why did something work? Why not? If you see it like that, competition means a lot. Like one match is like, I don't know, 10 hours of training.
Yeah.
If you see it like that, mindful. But you don't have to compete.
Yeah.
You just have to dedicate yourself. That's important.
Yeah. Dedicate your time and all that, and don't get injured, of course. That's the main goal.
Yeah, that's the worst. You risk it, get your knee broken, and then you win, but then you can't train for a year. So you 1 year wasted of technical advance.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
It's not worth the time, right, by doing that. It's not worth the time, because Yeah. One year by just by recovering, and you can't even roll or nothing. Yeah. It's like,
I was really lucky that I have this kind of, I hunt aggressively for submissions, but I have this kind of flowy, very soft style, so I hardly ever got hurt. So during those years since 2009, I have like roughly 500 grappling matches.
Oh, damn.
And that's only like gi and no gi mix. And that's only possible because I was hardly ever really hurt badly. Otherwise, like people, they compete and then they get hurt and they have to take a break every couple of months, and it just cuts down your time.
Yeah, it does.
And like one break of 3 months is not much, but if that happens 10 times within 10 years, then that's already like 3 years of breaks.
Yeah.
It's really not good.
Yeah, like too many layoffs, you know, too time to recover and stuff like that, and you don't get to compete frequently. But
yeah.
And for me, it's like Norway doesn't have too many competitions. I think we're 3 or 4 in a year. That's not much. Mm. 3 and 4 in 1 year in local competitions, but you know,
it's enough if you want. It's enough, man. You can train and you compete sometimes.
Yeah. It really depends though, but sometimes it's not very, I have to take a flight to get there, and
yeah,
it's like,
sucks,
yeah. So, but yeah, like, can't wait to compete again if my knee holds up, and can't wait to compete again. It's going to be fun. So, what is your next one? Do you have a schedule now, or?
Not really, but lately they are coming up in Germany. There's a lot of competition, so I sometimes just randomly decide to go for one.
Yeah, but Germany has like a lot of competitions, right?
It's like really exploding at the moment. Good.
Do you have a new competition like every weekend, for example?
Almost, I would say maybe every second weekend, like at least once a month you can easily find a competition everywhere in Germany.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
That's cool. How do you find the Globetrotters, by the way?
I love that. I think I just saw it online because I was following a lot of BJJ pages. Probably even that BJJ Eastern Europe page was it. BJJ Eastern Europe.
Yeah. I know that page.
I think the guy is like in Serbia, and he actually invited me to, at some point I'm gonna go there. Just then COVID happened, so it didn't happen yet, but eventually I'm probably gonna visit him.
Nice.
And train a bit. And,
nice. That's cool. But are you sorry, I would like to, have you been instructor at all the camps now, or is it just...
The first one, everybody asked me, I was from it, everybody was like, oh, you're teaching? I was like, no, but I'm just taking part. I didn't even think about the possibility. And then the next one, I was still brown belt, but Christian just asked me, and I was like, oh, damn, well, okay. I was like super nervous, but it went super well. I remember, I think his name was Alan Shabaro, like a 4-degree black belt, really solid grappler, really tough guy. He was complimenting me that it was a good class, so I was like, damn, that's nice. And then in 2018 I got the black belt, and since I taught the first time, I kept teaching at camps every year basically.
You were brown belt for a long time, right?
Yeah, quite a few years. Actually, it was kind of a situation with my gym back then. I didn't really like the coach and I just left because I was like afraid to get the black belt there because I didn't want to have his name on him.
Yeah.
That's another story, like.
Yeah.
I competed as brown belt in the Euros in the adult division, even though I could already go to the Masters, but I thought, ah, fuck it, it's not even black belt, so I'll just go for adult one more time. But I actually got bronze. I got beat by Dominic Bell at the Masters.
Dominic Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But he was cool, man. It was a good fight. He tried to submit me till the end, even though he had a point lead, so I was impressed by that because most people just get lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
How was the fight against him?
That was tough. He's like super, like his cardio is endless and he gets pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And he's also good from the guard, so I tried to stress him out and surprise him with heat chokes and all kinds of crazy stuff. But whenever it got dangerous, he would just retreat and try to repass again.
Yeah.
So that's how it went basically.
Yeah.
Also, I won the German trials for like the UAE JJF back then as brown belt, and they put me, because then you need 4 opponents, otherwise you don't get a ticket. They put me together with 3 other black belts. One of them was like as brown belt European champion again, ultra heavyweight. So it was like a fresh black belt, but very competition proven.
Yeah.
So somehow I beat them. This guy, I finished them with a triangle, and the other guy got points. And then I could fly to Abu Dhabi and fought there at the Worlds. That was pretty epic.
How was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. And there was an open mat every day. It was a 5-star hotel with a pool on top. Like,
they covered everything. Like, the shakes covered everything.
Yeah, everything. The flights, the pool, everything. And in the open mat, there was randomly like Miao brothers and other people just all day. The open mat was full. It was a small room, but for everybody, so you could use it 24/7 basically.
Yeah, so you can roll with everyone. And,
yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Get some input from everyone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You roll with some cool guys.
Yeah, a lot of, like, I can't even count them all. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah. Nice. So how do you do then? Did you have, when you fought at the competition, how do you do? Like the UA competition.
Well, at the trials I just got, I think it was bronze and gold, but then at the Worlds it was pretty close. I fought this guy from the UK, Bradley Hill. It was funny, he's a guard player, but I knew that, so I put guard first, and he didn't know me, of course. And like all guard players, they get super, like, they want to finish it quick if they don't get to play guard, so he was trying in a steamer a lot, but he didn't know I'm super flexible, so I kind of, he pulled me into mount while a steamer locking me, and I just went with it. And then I was like, I didn't get the points for mount because he still had a foot, and I was in a weird squatting position on top of it with my, the sole of my foot facing my own face and the other leg just normally mounting him. And then a scramble happened from there, and he ended up in north south on me, but without the pass, without points. And I thought he had points, but I was still in the leading. But I thought, okay, I have to act now. So I tried to push him to left to right, bottom, nothing, he was just holding. And then I tried to push him up, kind of bridged, and we left the mat space. And the referee thought I'm running from the choke, but he was just basically holding me.
Yeah.
And they're super strict, so they just DQ'd me right away. Even he was like, he just thought they're standing us up to restart, but then he just raises his hand and goes like, DQ with mine. So yeah, that was pretty fucked up, but can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it. It looked like he was choking me, so well, can't help it.
Shit. That sucks, though, but yeah.
Yeah, it's
but
always...
The experience itself was fun, right? With open mats and...
It was amazing to be there, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it, man. Sounds good. Anything else you want to talk about, or...
Yeah, I don't know. Any questions you have?
I think I had everything that I wanted, so...
Okay, then I guess...
We have 20 minutes here, and we gotta get down rolling. So thank you for your time.
It was great.
It's good. I'll put it out and tag you in it. And
yeah, sure.
It's good. All right. Thank you.